Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I welcome Dr. Heath Thomas to the podcast. Dr. Thomas serves as the recently installed president of Oklahoma Baptist University. Dr. Thomas, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'd like to have you in the studio and on campus today. And you preached in chapel this morning.
Right.
Had lunch today with colleagues. Now here we are in the studio. And yep. So thanks for giving us your time today.
Happy to do it. Thanks for the invitation.
Now, the big news, of course, for your life in Oklahoma Baptist University is you are the new president.
That's right.
You served there for a period of years as dean of the Hobbs College as well, on
That's
the front
right.
end of that. And then
That's
before
right.
that, 8 or so years at Southeastern
That's
Seminary.
Right.
So,
uh-huh.
I guess give our listeners the lay of the land in your life. You're just starting out as president of OBU. What's encouraging to you? What's exhilarating to you? What's before you in the school?
Well, thanks for that. I think one of the most exciting things that I see in my life is the opportunity to serve as president at an institution that sees all of life under the lordship of Jesus. And that's a key thing, and I think in our world today is a— It's a great university. Got 110 years of history and heritage, and it's an NCAA D2 university. Has 22 athletics and all those kinds of things you get at a normal university. But the distinctive thing about OBU is, for 110 years, we have been committed to transformational education, bent in service of Christ and His church. And what that means is all aspects of our education, whether it's how we teach a class or how we relate with a student or what we do professionally and academically, we want to see the lordship of Jesus on display, and we want to commit any academic excellence towards Christ and His church. And that's a distinctive thing in our world today. And so you're going to get world-class academics and all that, but you're going to get all of that bent for the glory of God in Christ. And I think that's what I am most excited about today. What got me into this position is a vision for higher education bent in service for Christ and His church. And if there's anything to get me up in the morning, boy, it's seeing the lordship of Jesus in science and math and English and history and teacher ed and nursing and engineering and all these different spheres where our world is desperately in need of a Savior.
You're also a preacher.
Yes.
You're a theologian.
Yep.
And you did your PhD in Old Testament studies.
That's right. Yep.
And you have written a number of books on the Book of Lamentations.
Yes.
And so we'll be talking about Lamentations today.
Great.
And preaching Lamentations.
Yep.
Now, before we get to that, give us an additional word of update on the Thomas family, your
sure.
wife and children, and how they're adapting to the transition.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for that question. So my wife, Jill, is a nurse. She was trained as a nurse, and she's done neonatal intensive care nursing in Fort Worth, Texas, and she's done pediatric nursing in North Carolina when we lived at in Wake Forest. And, now she's a school nurse at our district school, and she's had a great kind of time doing that. She's passionate about that. She and I have been together for about 20 years now. It's been fantastic, and God's blessed our marriage. And it's been quite a roller coaster. We counted how many houses that we've lived in. I think it's something like 11 houses or something like that.
Oh, my.
So it's a lot of transition, but she has been a rock in my life. And then we have 4 children. 16 all the way down to 9 years old, boy, girl, Harrison, Bella, Simon, and Sophia. And they're all very active children in our school, in sports, in student government, all those kinds of things. So it's a whirlwind in our house most of the time.
That's a glorious whirlwind.
It is, yeah.
Most of the time. The Allen family is similar with 5 kids and all the activities that go on.
Yep.
And I used to hear my parents speak of feeling like taxi drivers at times, and I feel that way as
Absolutely.
Well. Absolutely. But what a sweet stewardship it
yep.
does.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, listen, we're talking about preaching Lamentations.
Right.
And listening to our podcast, typically seminary students, pastors, local church ministers,
sure.
people who preach and teach the Word.
Right.
Now, a part of this podcast is we have a series that we've been doing about preaching different books of the Bible.
Right.
So having guests on like yourself, have a particular background or knowledge in a select book,
right.
and then talking a bit more in detail about preaching that book. So You are our resident Lamentations scholar.
Well, there's about five of us in the world.
That's right. So when we're thinking about preaching Lamentations, I guess the first question, and I say this with a smile on my face, but the question is why?
Yeah.
Why should pastors preach Lamentations?
Well, one of the reasons is because we've been encouraged in Scripture to not just preach what we want or what we like, but we're encouraged to preach the whole counsel of God. And the whole counsel of God is the full testimony of Scripture rather than just our sugar stick kind of messages, the ones that we love, the books that we love. The book of Lamentations is a feast to those who will sit down and dine at the table. If we sit down and dine at the table, God in His mercy and His kindness has given us a book like Lamentations to give us the voice of lament, to give us questions in the life of faith. And yes, there are questions in the life of faith. So it's important for us to have the grammar and the vocabulary to ask those questions and go to God in prayer, both individually and in community. That is the life of the church. The good news is a book like Lamentations gives us the grammar, vocabulary, and calls the community of faith to call out to God in faith. And that's the gift of the book of Lamentations. It's a hard book. It's a difficult book to work through. It's a difficult book to preach because I've done it. And, you know, if we're going to preach the whole counsel of God well, we've got to even work through the difficult books like Lamentations.
No, I agree in your persistence to preach the whole counsel of God.
Yep.
Is instructive. I'm curious at the personal level for you, what drew you to Lamentations?
That's a good question. So, it's Old Testament poetry, and like much of Old Testament poetry, it's filled with questions. And, you know, I was an English major in high school. I thought I was going to be an English professor. And English lit at its best forces us to question the most significant realities in the human condition. Life, death, what's most important, how do we deal with loss and tragedy? And sometimes we might not think that the book of Scripture actually helps us with these. But, you know, in all reality, a book like Lamentations drew me in because it helped me frame up, how do I deal with suffering well? What happens when it seems like the world has shattered and all of the rainbows that once were in the sky now lie on the ground? How do I deal with that as a follower of Jesus? What happens when the American dream doesn't go your way? What do we do then? And I think these are pertinent questions that all of us who have walked with Christ for a while, we face at different times. A book like Lamentations helps us navigate these realities and give, and I mean this, grammar and form to the faith, because it's prayer. Lamentations is primarily governed by prayer. And we don't have to make, sometimes we might think we have to be ingenious when we pray. Scripture's already even given us the form of prayer. We just need to follow it. So preaching the book of Lamentations is important personally for me because around 22 years ago, I found this is a resource that I had not accessed in my own life. And I was afraid that our churches hadn't either.
Well said. So the book of Lamentations, give us a sense just of the broad contours of the book.
Okay, so thank you for that question. So the book of Lamentations is five chapters. It's a literary masterpiece. It's written sometime between 586, 587 BC at the fall of Jerusalem in Judah at the hands of the Neo-Babylonian Empire. And that it was written sometime between 586, 587, all the way down probably to between 515 to 520 at the Restoration and Second Temple. And the idea here is it's the people of God understanding why God has exiled and destroyed Judah. It's because of their sin, but also asking the question, what is the way forward for us? How do we navigate the fact that, you know, all of these promises were given, but now there's no longer a land? And God's people are scattered all over the place. What do we do? How do we live well before the Lord? And a lot of that is governed by questions. And if you look in other texts, in the book of Psalms, for instance, you see similar kinds of language. How can we sing songs in a foreign land? I mean, that's the kind of language that you get in the Psalms. So Lamentations is written in that context. Each poem of the five poems is governed by an alphabetic acrostic. which means that there's tight cohesion to the poetry, and the governing structure of the book is not an idea. Sometimes it is, you know, if you follow a Pauline epistle, it's the logical or rhetorical flow of a letter. Not so in the Book of Lamentations. What governs and holds the book together or the poems together is the actual acrostic. And the acrostic keeps you focused and moving through the poetry, even when there seems to be wild shifts in focus and voice and all sorts of things. So the acrostic holds the poetry together. And then there are some key themes that reemerge over and over and over again. And as we preach and teach the book, some of those themes might seem, we've heard this before, what's different? But as we encounter it again, whether the theme is suffering or suffering and sin, it takes on a new angle every time you re-encounter it in the poetry. So the way I would describe the heart of the book is in the form of question. In chapter 3, there are two verses that frame up the center of the book, and it's until he looks down and see the Lord from the heavens. The book is an entire question. God, what's going on with our sin? Are we forgiven? Is there a tomorrow? How do I deal with my own sin? Well, what about those enemies that continue to oppress us? God, it seems like you're against us. See, all these questions emerge in the poetry, but what is governing all of it is an appeal to God to be God. And until he looks down and responds, we're going to keep praying. We're going to keep pressing. We're going to keep trusting in the mercies of God that they're new every morning. This is chapter 3. And trust in the faithfulness of God.
So you reference themes.
Yeah.
Unpack some of those for us.
Yeah. One is suffering and sin. There's no question that in the book of Lamentations, there's a firm linkage between suffering and sin. You get this in various places throughout the book. There are different voices who speak. So Zion speaks, and she says, I have rebelled exceedingly. This is chapter 1. So we know that she understands, Zion does, that the reason that they're suffering is because of sin. Right? You have this as well throughout chapter 2 and chapter 3. There's a strong emphasis on suffering and sin. But then there's also an emphasis not just on suffering and sin, but on loss. And loss is a hard one because anytime as when we as human beings deal with loss, a rational explanation like suffering and sin, it doesn't always kind of compute in our brain. So the issue of loss is voiced to God. God, we've lost our children. We've lost our heritage. We've lost our honor. We've lost, and because of that loss, there's no comfort. And in chapter 1 especially, there's this theme of no comfort, no comfort, no comfort, no comfort. Well, we know that God is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our afflictions so that we can comfort others. But Lamentations is appealing to God in the face of our loss to be the comfort. And that's, again, another question waiting for an answer. So those are some of the themes. And then finally, you know, I will emphasize chapter 3, the faithfulness of God. The logic of prayer is always built on an assumption that God is faithful and powerful to do something when God's people cry out to him in prayer. And so when we pray, we're calling for God to be God. Now, how God responds to our prayer is absolutely his business. But Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 24 is really structured on this idea that the mercies of God are new every morning because God is faithful. The great appeal in the book of Lamentations is that God's faithfulness, figured and pictured in the book, would be real in the real world. So that anticipation of God, we know who you are, be who you are in our lives today. That's the tension point in the book of Lamentations.
So in the study,
yep,
trying to understand the book and then ultimately to prepare sermons from it, what should our listeners be on the lookout for interpretively?
Yeah, so here's one thing that I would say. Don't be afraid of what looks like contradiction and ambiguity. Because the book goes back again and again and again to themes like loss and suffering and sin, it would be easy for us to say, hey, look, the reason why Zion is suffering is because of her sin. So that's the answer. Let's not worry with this anymore. You know, that's one way. Another way that we could say We know that when God disciplines, right, it's soul building, right? Because we know it produces various fruits or virtues in our lives, like patience and kindness and long-suffering and perseverance. All these virtues, suffering builds in the life of the believer. Now, Lamentations doesn't negate any of those realities. But the reality that we have to face in the book of Lamentations is the constant appeals that you go over and again to God. They drive us to this reality that one of those answers by itself doesn't fully encompass the entire theological outlook of the book. So you've got to be able to deal with a little bit of contradiction, what seems to be contradiction. Obviously, it's not, but it seems that way. The way I would describe that is, as we preach and teach the book of Lamentations, we've got to give space for people to be people and cry out to God in prayer. And that's one of the hard things. What we often want to do is give an answer. So here would be an example of this. Knowing, for instance, why my wife miscarried doesn't help me deal with the loss. I can understand and explain it. Oh, this is the reason why. But it doesn't emotionally, existentially help me with the loss. If you can apply that to the book of Lamentations, they know why they're experiencing what they're experiencing. The challenge is, how do I navigate that experientially, emotionally, psychologically? That's what Lamentations does. It provides the framework for God's people to navigate their full humanity before a holy God. And that's a little bit messy.
You think about the emotion of modern man, modern woman, the neediness of the human heart,
right?
Emptiness,
right?
Longings. So much that is true of humanity, you know, post-Genesis 3 world, but what seems especially acute in the 21st century, for the preachers listening to this podcast and those who have a ministry of the word, preaching and teaching it, speak to the message of Lamentations and how it should be preached and taught in such a way that it connects with those modern men and women with such emptiness.
Well, if I were to use words like loss, regret, loneliness, pain, these are words that resonate with all of us. The good news is Scripture addresses those experiences in a very full-throated way. And the way it does it is it gives space for God's people to deal with those realities and those experiences in prayer. I've said this in a number of my books, and I really do mean this. When you encounter a book like Lamentations that deals with prayer, both individually and corporately, what we need to understand is the first responsibility of the church when we're confronted with regret or something like this or an injustice in the world, the first and best reflex of the church is not action, it's prayer. Because prayer centers us in the center of God. Prayer says, I am a needful human being in need of a holy and majestic God. What Lamentations does is it takes all of those emotions like loss and regret and pain and fear, and instead of trying to fix it, it kind of leaves those raw nerves out there and just kind of puts them to the Lord and says, Lord, this is what's going on. Help. You know, help, two questions, why and how long, are prominent in Lamentations and in the Psalms for that matter. And do you know why they're prominent? It's because we as human beings don't know why and we don't know how long. We don't know why this has happened. We don't know how long this happens. But the good news is that we have a God who knows and can speak to both. So when I think about preaching and teaching the book of Lamentations, I need to be preaching and teaching the book of Lamentations with an eye to prayer and not just disclosing the book of Lamentations so that people understand it, but they can go do it because the book is calling his people to prayer. That's a distinctive way of preaching, I know, but it's important.
You've preached through the book.
I have, yeah.
Any recommendations for how many sermons to bring from the book?
Yes. So it depends. You know, a lot of folks work through verse by verse. It's going to be hard to work through verse by verse in the book of Lamentations. I would encourage you to break up each chapter into 2 weeks. So Lamentations 1 to 22, break it up into 1 through 11 and 12 to 22. Same thing with chapter 2, 1 through 9 or 2, 1 through 11, and then 12 through 22. And then chapter 3 is tough, but 3, 1 through 18 Okay, you might break up chapter 3 into three sections, 3:1 through 18, 3:19 through 20, 19 through 39, and then 40 through 66. Chapter 5 makes a lot of sense to do, break it up in half again. In chapter 5, you can actually do in one sermon. It's the shortest of all the poems, and all 22 verses are really just one stanza. So you can do that in really one sermon. And that's kind of the way that I would break it up. Although you do have strange kind of intermixing of motifs and themes in each of the sections, if you do 1:1 through 11, you'll find pain and loss is key. Chapter 1:12 through 22, pain and prayer. That's just basic. Chapter 2:1 through 11 deals with the wrath of God. And that's always a tough one. But again, if you're dealing with it, you got to deal with it.
Right.
So that's kind of how I'd break it up.
Heath, thank you for your time. Man, been such a delight having you on campus and hosting you and then to talk Lamentations with you. Just pulling this together before we go, any last word of advice you want to give the one who would preach Lamentations?
Well, there's a couple of things that I would say. If we read Lamentations like with an emphasis on prayer, that opens us up to the reality of God in Christ. And you say, how in the world does it do that? The anticipation that we get in Lamentations, Lord, help, this is who you are. Make who you are real in the real world. That's the same anticipation that we get in the kingdom of God. And how did Jesus teach us to pray? He taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I would actually frame up Lamentations. What I think is going on, it's a kingdom text. It helps us pray in light of the kingdom that's coming in Christ. Lord, how do I pray for your kingdom to come on this earth now amidst all of the brokennesses of this world? How do I pray? Lamentations gives us that voice. Interestingly enough, that's exactly how the church has been using Lamentations for the past 2,000 years. We just might have forgotten it.
Well said. Well, we will end on that note. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for the invitation. Appreciate it.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.